This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So it's either on my Facebook and my YouTube and Instagram as well, and the Masjid YouTube, on four different places, inshallah. You just type my name in, Dawood Butt, you'll find it, inshallah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلوات الله وسلامه على نبيه الكريم عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. My brothers, my sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa So as I mentioned yesterday, if there's any sisters, if you want to come over into the main prayer hall, feel free to do so. Or if you want to open up the doors to divide in the middle, then you can do that. Today, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to be covering the second juz of the Quran, the second sibara of the I know that Ishin at night, you're way ahead of it. Third juz, alhamdulillah. Third juz. But we'll follow along with the days of Ramadan, right? Because alhamdulillah, these guys are on like next level speed. Alhamdulillah. Inshallah ta'ala, as we go through the second juz of the Quran, we recap how we covered Surah Al-Fatiha yesterday and some parts of the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah. And we took a couple of examples and mention this trend throughout the Quran, and you'll see it today as well, inshallah ta'ala. We spoke about a couple of things pertaining to Surah Al-Baqarah and the reward, but we did not talk about the Surah title, meaning that it is titled the Surah of the Cow or the chapter of the cow. And that is because of the story of Musa alayhi salam and how the people, Banu Israel, that followed him, they, when Musa alayhi salam went away, long story short, because I didn't plan on getting into that today, but it was mentioned. So Musa alayhi salam left his people, he went to communicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Banu Israel, they ended up building, molding out of the jewelry that they had an empty or hollowed out structure of a cow. And they began to worship it. And of course, there's more that we can go into, which I've covered in the past, and that's why I don't go over it. I like to choose different verses every single year. And so this is something that could be found within the surah as well, because someone was asking, why is it titled? Today, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to look at, we'll begin with verse number 165. Verse number 165 of Surah Al-Baqarah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الرجيم
وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ والذين آمنوا أشد حبا لله ولو يرى الذين ظلموا إذ يرون العذاب أن القوة لله جميعا وأن الله شديد العذاب.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ومن الناس, there still are some people who مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ. There still are some who take others or other than Allah wa ta'ala and place them at the same level as Allah Azza wa Jalla. And they love them as though they should, and they love them as they should love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ. Right? And we touched upon yesterday very briefly when we mentioned, right, people who pass away and pious people, and sometimes they're buried and worshipped in certain countries around the world. We see this happening. We see it happening as well where, you know, sometimes whether it's within the Muslim communities or, you know, in other faiths, pious, righteous people, And worshiping, they should be worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they worship other than Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ يَرَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا إِذْ يَرَوْنَ الْعَذَابَ أَنَّ الْقُوَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعَذَابِ. If only the wrongdoers, those who worshipped other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, could see the horrible punishment awaiting them for their actions in worshipping other than Allah, they would certainly realize that all power belongs to Allah and that Allah is indeed severe in punishment. Now, when we think of the life we live and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a lot of the time, as I mentioned, we can't see Allah, so we don't think of Allah in that sense. Like, we don't come up with an image of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we get older, a lot of the time children will question and say, we want to know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks like. We want to see Allah. Yes, we will get to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once we reach paradise, insha'Allah ta'ala. But in the meantime, we try to understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His signs, through His name, through His attributes, through what He does, what He provides, what He restricts, right? What He withholds from giving to us as well. Things that are not good, subhanahu wa ta'ala refrains from giving to us. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one to be worshipped, but at times we think or picture Allah in our minds. And this can be challenging for some at times, where they feel what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks like. And because they can't figure that out, they resort to worshipping other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They start to worship what does make sense to them, what they can see, tangible, right? What's physical in front of them. And sometimes that or worshipping other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't begin immediately by just shifting from Allah to something else. And we saw this in the example of the people of Nuh alayhi salam. They slowly transitioned from worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to respecting what the pious people did in the past, right? And then trying to strive hard for how the pious people used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then they brought the idea of making idols or statues to remind them of those pious people. And they used to have the statues outside, and so people would walk past them and see it and be reminded. And then they decided to bring those statues into the place of worship, and they put them in the back. And so when people would come into the place of worship, they would see it, and then they would be reminded of how pious they were and how righteous they were and how much they cherished certain aspects of those people's lives. So they became more connected to that. And then they said, you know what, why don't we just put the statues or the idols in the front? So that when we worship Allah, we are reminded of their sacrifices, with how righteous they were, and we could, inshallah, become just like them. And what happened over time is that shaitan, we're talking centuries, would whisper to them to try to get this. And eventually they started to worship pious people that passed away. And so shaitan doesn't begin immediately by, you know, turning us off from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaitan's job is to whisper to us. Whisper, 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 right? Like that constant sound you're always hearing. And it's annoying, and you start to push it away. But eventually, it keeps telling you something. Like someone tells you, you know, people pick on me because my nose is big, right? So they say, your nose is big. And I never felt like my nose was big. I said, nobody knows. But it's good, it's the size of your face. I'm like, okay. And then another person comes and says, you have a big nose. I'm like, jazakallah khair. I've heard that before, you know. And then you know, it's another friend is say you have a big nose. I'm like, okay, I get it. And then, you know, your children tell you, you know, your nose is big. I'm like, I know. Everyone tells me my nose is big. I'm big. And eventually you start to believe it. And then eventually a day comes, I have a big nose. You never felt like it. It never bothered you before. You never even thought twice. When you look in the mirror, you never thought to look at your nose. Would be like, oh, let's see how big it is. No, you never do that. But because so many people are always telling you the same thing, eventually feel like you have a big nose. And you affirm it by saying to other people, I have a big nose, even though you never felt like it was big to begin with. And so that's an example of how Shaitan works on us, right? Whispers to us slowly but constantly, whispering, 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 to get us to believe something. Now, one of the reasons why I wanted to mention this today is because I was thinking of this with regards to raising children, our own children. Sometimes we don't tell them enough that they're beautiful, right? Sometimes we don't tell them enough that we love them. Sometimes we don't tell them enough that they're good at what they do, that they're nice, that they're honest, that they have courage, that they're brave. Sometimes we don't say that enough to them. But what we do say to them is, you're being annoying, raising your voice, stop doing this, right? You're laughing because it's true, right? Right? You're always banging your feet. You're always slamming the doors. Stop doing this. Stop doing that. You're like this. You're like that. You're like this. You're like that. And we constantly tell them. So they start to believe eventually that they are like that. And that's a mistake that we make. So for all the children that are listening, I am going to apologize to you on behalf of, right? And I will apologize to my children as well. We don't mean to. Sometimes life is just too frustrating. There's too many things going on. It's too difficult, right? To recognize that you're our children and you mean the most to us, right? The children, you're sitting next to your father and he'll say, yes, you are the most valuable thing to me. And when I say thing, we include the human beings, right? That we don't say it enough, but we cherish each other so much for granted that they're with us in our lives. So we need to say the good things that about our children to them so that when they grow older, they believe that I am courageous, I am brave, I am strong, I am smart, I am good looking, I am beautiful, I am strong, and what qualities we find and see within our children. But if we don't tell them enough, then they will grow up, I'm a troublemaker. I cause trouble. And then at school sometimes, what happens is all their friends, and the friends are like, oh yeah. And then they get challenged by their friends. And that's Shaitan working on us as adults, not allowing us to raise our children the way the Prophet ﷺ did. Remember, he said, يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ. Whoever believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the final day, say that which is good or remain silent. How many times do we say bad things to our children? And we should stay silent. Now, there is the need to discipline children or to speak to children. And there's a way and a method that I think every one of us as parents, we sometimes get lost in the method of correcting our children, how it's supposed to be done according to the way of the Prophet ﷺ, which is with good words, maw'idatil hasana, advising them nicely, speaking to them nicely, sitting with them, being their friend. The Prophet ﷺ was friends with friend of his time. That's why they were so happy to go. Like when there was an expedition, when he was traveling, they would want to go and travel. Travel at his time was not like our time, where you get into a nice air-conditioned car, where you get into an airplane and you go to another country and you stay in a hotel. That's not travel at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. Travel at his time was hard. It was difficult, right? It was really challenging. You would go away for months and you would not come back months later. If you even made it back alive, if you didn't prolong the journey, like the example parents of the Prophet ﷺ, being biryas, shows us that they would travel and things would be difficult and they would pass away their journeys and never come back to where they lived. So we take it for granted that we have our children and we don't become friends with them. And the Prophet ﷺ was so close to the children at his time that they would want to leave their parents to be with him. Now that doesn't mean that their parents were bad. It means that their parents made them love him so much through their own personal lives, they, as the adults, the male and female Sahaba and Sahabiyat, at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they loved him so much sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that their children loved him so much. So it wasn't a hatred towards the parents that we want to leave you and go with someone else. No, it was like, you love him so much, what is it about him that we can love too? So when we talk about worshiping other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those are small whispers that come over time that affect us as human beings. And we need to be very, very careful of that. Skip to verse number 168, just at the bottom of the page. From 168 to 173, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ كُلُوا مِمَّا فِي الْأَرْضِ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O humanity, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ, everyone, كُلُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا Sorry, كُلُوا مِمَّا فِي الْأَرْضِ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to all human beings, eat from what is lawful and good on the earth and do not follow the footsteps of shaytan. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ This is what we're talking. إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ Verily he is truly your sworn enemy. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to all of the human beings, كُلُوا مِمَّا فِي الْأَرْضِ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا Eat from what Allah has provided for you on earth that is halal, permissible, good. Halal being lawful. Don't think of halal as only I take, you know, or I eat the meat from an animal that is permissible and it was sacrificed in a permissible manner. Halal extends to also purchasing that food in a manner and earning the wealth to purchase that food in a manner that was permissible as well. So when we say eat from what is lawful, first we need to be able to attain it in a lawful manner. Because if we eat chicken that was hand slaughtered, alhamdulillah, and everyone says this is halal, a Muslim brother or sister is serving it to you, but you went and you stole it from them, then even though the meat in itself is halal, it's haram for me to eat it because I stole it. Even though, in and of itself, it's halal. So attaining something, and this extends to not only food, but here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically says, eat from what is lawful. Now, eat, consume what is good for us. Halalan tayyiba. Things that will benefit us. And this is Ramadan, and we know, alhamdulillah, we break our fasts on sometimes things that are not for us. And I know the brothers and sisters are setting up the iftar now. Maybe we should tell them to block their ears a little bit for the next few seconds, right? And sometimes we eat things that are too greasy. Now, there's nothing wrong with eating something greasy, but eating too much greasy foods is not good for us. The same way, eating too much dates is not good for us. How did Imam Malik, rahimahullah, pass away? Who knows? Yeah, I know you know. Anyone else know? Anyone know? How did he pass away? He ate too many dates. Imam Malik, rahimahullah. He was looking and researching a mas'ala, a question. And he was researching all night. He had dates. You know, a bunch of dates next to him. And he just kept eating. While he was searching, he would take the dates and eat. And he was reading and searching. And you know, when the scholars were asked one, they would leave their books or their you know, bills until they found the answer to that question. Like they would take it seriously. Not like us. And just let the person go. He was researching so much. And he was so focused. on trying to find the answer to what he was asked about that he ate so many dates to the point that it harmed him, he passed away. So he overdosed on dates, subhanAllah. Not intentionally, but it goes to show us that even things that are good for us need to be consumed in moderation. So, the same thing for many other things, like coffee or tea. Is that something that's permissible? Well, going back many years, the scholars initially would say that coffee is not permissible because it's like a... But then they realized like a little bit of something, a little bit of this is okay, right? Certain things may be permissible. We are allowed to have it. We are allowed to have it as long as we don't overdo it. So if you eat too many samosas, there's just maybe potatoes or mincemeat or something in it, it may harm our health, right? If you eat too many chips, it can harm your health. If you eat too many chocolate bars, it can harm your health. If you eat too much of anything, even water. I used to say that the only thing not eat too much of or have too much of is water. Just give me 1 second. I was sitting in an auditorium teaching in Malaysia once. I flew to Malaysia. I was teaching there. And in the audience was Sir Yusuf. He is the head neurologist. Is it neurology or cardiology? I think it was neurology. He's head neurologist in the country, right? He's like the top specialist. And subhanAllah, he words and he's like, no, even too much water is dangerous for you. He said, you can flood your brain. And he says, this is what happens with marijuana. They get very thirsty. And because they're thirsty, they drink a lot of water. And they end up because they flood their brain by drinking water. SubhanAllah. They drown their brain. Allahu Akbar. I can't hear you. You have to speak louder. Yeah, you come closer and I'm going to talk because it's going to get very hot. That makes too much noise. SubhanAllah. He died drinking. SubhanAllah. Look at that. So our young boy, he's telling us there was a competition of who can drink. And the winner of the competition died because he just kept drinking. SubhanAllah. Right? So even something that we think is not harmful to us, too much of it is no good. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, eat what is lawful for you. You attained it in a halal manner. You're going to respect. You're going to eat it. It's halal for you and so on, but eat from what is good and don't follow the footsteps of shaitan. Shaitan always tries to find ways. Like you hear people say, okay, if we go to a restaurant and you know a bit of alcohol as they're frying my food, the alcohol evaporates immediately, right? And I know it's a question you're going to come to me after about, right? The alcohol evaporates very quickly, so there's no more alcohol left in the food, so we should have food, right? Well, the scholars differ on, right? They actually do differ. But the better thing is away from it. Why? Because shaitan is whispering to us. Why do I have to go to that restaurant? Is there no restaurants available for me to go to? I can go to so many restaurants, halal restaurants, owned by Muslims that are not going to use a single drop of alcohol in the food. But we prefer to go there sometimes. This is what you see people doing and saying. Yes. What's the point of putting alcohol if it evaporates immediately? Because from the alcohol stay in the food, right? And another thing I learned today, just today, I learned there were two young boys, actually four young boys that came to see me. Two of them Muslim, two of them interested in becoming Muslim. And they were saying that, you know, we want to become Muslim, but one of the things that are challenged with in our home is that our parents, when they cook, they always use cooking wine. And it's because apparently it regains flavor, like it removes the meaty or the, you know, that wild flavor that you find within the meat that would exist. Don't use the wine. I didn't know that. My wife might have because I don't cook much and she knows that and she's not happy with it. But here, she's going to give me some input. Blood. Yeah. Given that as a tip to these boys, told them home some halal meat that has no blood in it, right? So that's true. The non-Muslims, for the most part, at least here in Canada, have to do say this. In Canada, the blood is drained from the animals, those in particular, right? So the method that is used in industry in Canada, alhamdulillah, is better than other places. Khair. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 169, إِنَّمَا يَأْمُرُ وَالْفَحْشَاءِ وَأَنْ تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ تَعْلَمُونَ. Where Allah says, إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. Don't follow the footsteps of Shaitan. Clearly, he is a sworn enemy of yours. And he incites you to commit evil and indecency and to claim against Allah what you do. وَأَنْ تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ قَالُوا بَلْ نَتَّبِعُ مَا أَلْفَيْنَا عَلَيْهِ آبَاءَنَا. When it is said to them, follow what Allah has revealed, they reply, no. When you say to them, follow what Allah has revealed, they're like, no, no, Allah has revealed. We only follow what? مَا أَلْفَيْنَا عَلَيْنَا مَا أَلْفَيْنَا عَلَيْهِ آبَاءَنَا. What our forefathers used to follow. What our parents and their parents, what they used to do, what we're going to do. And I always tell our Muslim youth. Yeah. Go on. Okay, we'll come back to that. Okay. So I always tell our young Muslim, right, the youth amongst the Muslim community, children, think. If we are telling you as your parents, as Muslims, if we are telling you something that's wrong, do your research. And you will find that the truth always comes back to what Islam says. So you will always find it. Even if, but our parents were Muslim, so we want to be Muslim. The Quran says, oh, we're just following what our parents are saying. And what our grandparents did and what our great parents did. Okay, fine. If that's what you think, then go and find what the truth is. Research. And you will see that that is the truth. So this statement sometimes is used out of context by teenagers, college, university students at our time here. And they say, oh, you know, we're not doing anything different than what the Quran says the Jewish and the Christian and anyone else is doing, right? By following what our parents do, we're just following in their footsteps. I have to figure it out for myself. And so we encourage them. Okay, ask, what questions do you have? And that's why I like these young boys that came in today, and they were so particular with their questions. They had everything written out, right? Each brother had it written out, and they asked their questions, and they had researched the Quran, they had read through the Quran, subhanAllah, like they found what they wanted to about other religions, and they concluded that Islam is the truth. That was their conclusion. They were given the ability to research. Their parents allowed them to go into research. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوَلَوْ كَانَ آبَاؤُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَعْتَدُونَ. Would they still do so? Would they still follow their parents, their grandparents, their great-grandparents, even if their forefathers had absolutely no understanding or guidance? Like sometimes we follow people who don't know. And this is a mistake that we make as Muslims even today. Today, what is it? April 3rd, Sunday, 2022. We make this mistake as Muslims. Here, even within our masjid, within our community, we do things thinking this is the way we always did it. So we shouldn't do anything different. And we look and see what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. And I'll use the example of Taraweeh. And I love doing this during Ramadan to probe a little bit. Yes, what is it? Because your hand is up. You're going to have to stay right in front of me. You'll be my best student sitting in front of me all Ramadan. How do they find out the truth? By researching? By simply researching? Because the truth speaks loudly. As in, when you read through other books, or questions to other, religious people, the answers you get will not coincide. They will not be the same as what you feel inside of you. Remember, you and me and everyone, we were born upon the fitrah. Fitra is default mode. You know when you get a brand new phone and you open it out of the box and you turn it on, these fancy, cool things? That's the way it was programmed to work, right? And then your mom or dad changes the ringtone from ring to right? So you changed it. So the default mode that you were programmed with, that Allah programmed you and every one of us with, is the truth. That Allah is the one to be worshipped, right? Now, when you ask questions to other religions or you research other religions, you will find that it doesn't make sense to you. And when it doesn't make sense to you, it's because you were programmed upon something that was true, that Allah is the one to be worshipped, okay? So anything other than that will not make sense to you. So it's very easy to find out the truth. We just need to worship. We just need to research and you'll find it. InshaAllah. Okay. But alhamdulillah, half your research is done because you're being raised as a Muslim, right? Alhamdulillah. So as I was saying, one of the apples that we get is the Quran. Throughout the month of Ramadan, did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to pray Taraweeh? Yes or no? Who says yes? Raise your hand. Who says no? Raise your hand. The scholars have differed. That means we're doing something good. If there's difference of opinion, then it must be good, right? So the answer to that is, when I went like this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not read Taraweeh. Okay, so there's a few things here that we have to mention. He prayed. But first of all, was it we? No. Time of Umar radiallahu anhu, he came into the masjid. Umar radiallahu anhu was the khalifa, right? He came in. Comes into the masjid and he's praying in the night during Ramadan, exerting themselves so much that they can't stand any, and so they took rope and they tied rope around the palms that were on the roof holding up the beams and making the roof of the masjid. Took the rope and wrapped it under their arms and around their torso to hold their bodies up so they can remain standing. They were so tired and exhausted they couldn't stand anymore. So they were tying ropes and holding on to things to be able to continue to stand. And he said, this is not what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do. And so they decided that Qiyam, right? Qiyam al-Layl, which is what we used to call it, or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to pray tahajjud during Ramadan. It was Qiyam al-Layl, standing throughout the night, right? And he used to pray this in units of two, so two raka'ah, two raka'ah, two raka'ah, two raka'ah. And the more common number was eight raka'ah. But he used to recite, sometimes in the first raka'ah, Surah Al-Fatiha, Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah Al-Imran, and sometimes Surah Al-Nisa. Imagine, in one raka'ah. And we complain, we're like, tell the imam, like, you recited too much, too long, take it easy, you know, have mercy on us. Right? Have mercy on us. Yeah, exactly. You take very long. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was tired and he wanted to continue, what did he used to do? Huh? I can't hear you. No. He wants to continue praying. What did he used to do? No. when the he would sit down, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would pray sitting down sometimes when he was tired. Know how to pray sitting down because he prayed sitting down, right? But what we see is the 20 rak'ah that we pray nowadays was not prayed during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, on the first night he came out and he prayed with the people, right? And then the second night he came out, the second night of Ramadan, he came out and he people. And then the third night he came out, did he come out? He didn't come out. But the people waited. And they were there, they're waiting and waiting. Where is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Why isn't he coming out? Why isn't he leading us in prayer? And they waited and waited and waited and waited. Eventually they like got him to come out. And he says, I fear that you are making or you will make something compulsory upon yourselves if I come out and continue to pray with you like this every single day. And so he went back into his home and he prayed on his own. Now, if we think of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us here, that sometimes we say, oh, our parents prayed Taraweeh, it had to be 20, so we're going to pray 20. Like I was raised praying 20, and I feel weird if I pray less than 20. But sometimes I force myself to pray less than 20, intentionally, because I'm like, you know what? I don't feel like praying the 20. Like my desire to pray right now, like khalas, now I want to sit down. Like, I want to go rest. And if you continue to pray, I'll come to you in a second, inshallah. If you continue to pray, because you know other people are watching me, people are going, oh, how come Dawood is leaving and he's not praying 20 rak'ah? Oh, how come so-and-so person is leaving? And your friends see you and you're like, what's wrong, man? What's wrong? You're weak? You can't pray? You're weak? And so you're scared that they're going to say that about you, so you pray. Are you praying for Allah or are you praying because you're worried they're going to say something about you? Praying for Allah? Alhamdulillah, that's good. But if someone is praying because they're worried that people are going to say something about them, then that in itself is doing exactly what we said. Following shaitan. Following shaitan. In prayer, you think to yourself, how is Salah following shaitan? Salah is not following shaitan. As you're praying, worried what other people are going to say about you, your prayer is for the people and not for Allah. So your taraweeh, your qiyam at night, is not for the sake of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why I encourage us, if you're tired, sit down. If you want, go home, rest. What's most important is that we pray Isha. We pray the Isha prayer, that's the most important, right? And then the extra prayers, yes, the Prophet ﷺ did them. So we don't discourage that. We encourage to pray more throughout Ramadan. Bring the nights to life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts barakah in our sleep. He puts barakah in our food. And we know that because look at how many hours we've gone without food. Alhamdulillah, we're sitting here. We probably didn't think of it. We might smell it, but we're not like craving for it right away, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the ability to put barakah in things. So we shouldn't think like, oh, I have to do this because my parents prayed 20, I have to. And this is what our grandparents did and our great-grandparents did. And, you know, so-and-so person's family was a family of imams, so we all have to do this. No. Do what you do for the sake of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, yeah, question. Very good. Alhamdulillah. That's exactly it, right? If you're doing it for the sake of pleasing Allah, you can pray more than 20. The 20 rak'ah, going back to the story of Umar radiallahu anhu, he called it or coined it Taraweeh. Why? For word, raha, istiraha. Raha is like rest, relax, take a break. Taraweeh, called taking a break. And when we think of it, we're like, oh my God, we're not taking a break. We're standing, we're praying. It's long, it's hard. No, no, it's give you a break. And so, Umar radiallahu anhu made it so that people would take a break after four rak'ah and rest. And this is why you'll notice the imams, when they're praying, they do two rak'ah, then rest for maybe a minute. Now we do it much quicker because we're not praying as long as they used to pray. They would recite long rak'ah, right? And then rest. And then get up and pray two more. And then two more. And then rest. So that break in between is the time of relaxing and resting. And that's why it was called Taraweeh. The prayer that you pray that includes taking a break. SubhanAllah. That's how we learn our deen. Is that we don't just do what we always did because that's what our parents did. Even as we need to be careful of this. We need to do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to continue to do that. I mean, there are many things that I wanted to cover today, but I didn't have the ability to get into it. If we just go to verse number 177, I know we have, what, 10 minutes until the adhan? 12 minutes? Okay. About 10, 12 minutes. So in verse number 177, I'll just go over it in English, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبْلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. Righteousness, bir, piety, is not turning your head towards the right and the left, or towards the east and the west. This was because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had told the Muslims, now you are going to pray towards the Kaaba in Mecca, and not towards Bayt al-Maqdis, they got a little bit upset. They were like, sad. Why is it that we are going to see the Muslims now worship in a different direction? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, piety is not that you turn your faces in a particular direction. وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, rather righteousness or piety are those, or the righteous and pious are those who believe in Allah, the last day, the angels, the books, and the prophets. And they give in charity out of the wealth that they cherish, to their relatives, to orphans, to the poor, to the needy, to travelers, to beggars, those who are freeing captives. They also establish their prayer. They pay zakah. They keep their pledges that they've made, as in they said they're Muslim, they're not hypocrites. They believe. And they are patient in times of suffering and adversity and in the heat of a battle. They don't leave when things get difficult. It is they who are true in faith, and it is they who are mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's all the time that we have for today, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan. Use this time in dua. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our dua. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the highest levels of paradise and fiddaws al-a'la. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us complete and full forgiveness. Ya Allah, please make it easy for this ummah to continue to learn the deen that you have designed for us. Ya Allah, please make it easy for us that are going through hardships and difficulty and struggles. Remove the hardships from upon us. Ya Allah, please make every single hardship a means of our forgiveness and attainment of nearness to you. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.